you're not still at Proverbs 31, I would encourage you to take your Bible and turn back to that passage, because reference will be made to it many times this morning. When we render service to one another, we are really rendering service to God. Matthew 25 so teaches. When we honor our parents, we are necessarily giving honor to God. Because God himself, through the Apostle Paul, instructed us to honor father and mother. Ephesians 6, verse 2. When we take the time to think about the honor that is justly due our parents, I believe at the same time we're giving honor to God. The honor to parents and the carrying out of that is said to be a commandment of promise. We are told that when we do that, it will be well with us and that it can lengthen our lives. Certainly, such a commandment is one that we ought to consider. I appreciate very much what my mother has meant to me, as well as what my dad has meant to me. It's been our privilege this past week to spend the time Monday through Friday with Dad and Mother. And in a personal way, I hope, give some honor. We even took Mother shopping one day. If you can go shopping and keep up with Judy for a day of shopping, you've got to be in pretty good health. Mother made it. She was very tired at the end of the day. I appreciate the mother of our children. Three daughters are here today. And I appreciate each one of you in the audience this morning who's a mother. I'm convinced that you are the ones who hold the key to the successful rearing and development of our younger ones. I believe that you mothers that are sitting in the pew, and fathers also, perhaps to a large degree, but especially the mothers, are in a position to do more in your relationship to your sons and daughters than I can do from this pulpit, or that our elders can do even as they lead us in the work of the church. You are very important, and we appreciate you. We want you to know how important we think you are. Since this is a day that is designated as Mother's Day on our calendar, and I'm glad that there is a day that's designated, not to limit our honor to that day, but to especially emphasize it, I've chosen to talk about woman both this morning and this evening. This morning we'll be talking about woman from the standpoint of the home as we look at Proverbs 31. Tonight we'll be talking about woman as related to the work of the church as we look at 1 Timothy 2. I want to preface our study of this passage in Proverbs 31 by making two or three statements. I believe the Bible teaches that God gives a woman a choice of whether or not to be married and whether or not to be a mother. We have examples of women who chose not to marry, who evidently let the career be the number one thing in their lives, or maybe number two next to God. An example would be that of Lydia in the New Testament, who is talked about as a merchant, as a seller of purple, and whose life, at least at the time that we know about her, seemed to be centered around a career. There is certainly nothing wrong with a woman choosing to have a career and to let that be her number one work as far as this earth is concerned, next to her work to God. But I further suggest to you and believe very strongly that when a woman chooses to marry and chooses to have children in her family and to be a mother, that then she has chosen a position in life where her career must come second to her family. And that if she does not understand that, she's going to have problems, and there will be problems in the family. I've heard people say down through the years that Proverbs 31 is a description of a woman who was a career woman. I don't believe that's the case. And I think we need to look at that. As we look at this passage this morning, notice first of all the excellent description that is given of this woman. The word virtue itself is a positive quality. Usually, when you and I think of virtue, we think of morality and holiness and purity. And all of these qualities were present, but that's not the base meaning of the word virtuous as used here. The word means courageous, more than just morally pure. This woman was a courageous woman. Certainly that quality points out her excellence. In the second place, in verse 10, she is described as one whose price or whose worth is far above rubies. A ruby is a precious gem. And he is using that to tell us that a woman, as described in this passage, is more precious than not just one, but a plurality of rubies. And he extends that by saying, her worth is far above rubies. Not just as valuable, not just to be thought of in that sense, but far above rubies, far above that which is a precious gem. She is described in an excellent way. And then over in verse 24, it says, or 29, it says that she excelleth them all. If you were to make a list of all the different types of people that exist, men and women, adults and children, the different kind of lives that are lived, the different kinds of descriptions that could be given. He is saying here, it seems to me in this verse, that this description of this person here in Proverbs 31 is of a person who is at the top of the list. The virtuous woman is at the top of the list. I sometimes jokingly say to you ladies that God made woman last because he didn't want somebody telling him how to make everything else. But when I'm serious about it, I believe the reason God made woman last is that he saved the crowning part of his creation until last. I believe he did that with man in general. And then he made the male first and he made the female last. He made woman at a time when there was something lacking, and when he made woman, he could then say everything was very good, not just good, but very good. And I think in that sense that the writer of this 31st chapter of Proverbs is saying that a good woman, one like described in this passage, is at the top of the list. She excelleth them all. Notice also that she is one who is praised. She is praised by her children, verse 28. She's praised by her husband, verse 28. And she's praised by the community, verse 31. And that praise is brought about especially because they know what she does. Her works are known in the gates. That's the same word that's used over in Revelation 14:13 that say our works follow us and go with us even to the grave and to the judgment. What a person does, not just what her name is, and particularly you notice here he says that favor is deceitful, or charm as it is translated in some versions, and beauty is vain. She's not known in the gates for her charm and her beauty, but she's known because of her works. She may have been a woman who had charm. I think there's some indication here that because of the way she cared for herself, that she would have been a person whose beauty may have been noticed. But that was not what was noticed the most. She was praised by her family and she was praised by the community because of the services that she had rendered, the works that she had rendered in the gates. Now that's an excellent description of a person, isn't it? Now notice in the next place where her priorities were. And I suggest to you that it is the understanding of this point that makes the first point have even more meaning. The first thing that we need to understand about this woman is her relationship to God. Look there in verse 30. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, this is the woman we've said that's just been praised by her children, by her husband, by her works, by the community. What type of woman is this? One that feareth the Lord. I believe that that was her first priority. That she was interested in giving honor to her Father in heaven. And it's not very difficult to give honor to a mother or a father here on earth when that mother or father will give honor to the Father in heaven. She was one who feared the Lord. The word fear there, no doubt, is intended to suggest the idea of respect and maybe awe. Respect for God and awe when considering His power. This woman feared the Lord. And then if you analyze these 21 or 22 verses, you'll notice that her next priority is her family. Had you ever noticed that the passage starts with the family relationship and ends with the family relationship? Look at verses 10 and 11. Especially verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Before anything else is mentioned about what she's doing and what's noted in her life, something said about her family. And then after all of those other things are mentioned, look down at verse 28, and it comes back to that idea. Her sons and daughters will praise her, and her husband will praise her. It seems to me that you've got somewhat of a sandwich here. And all that that's in between that talks about her daily activities and the work that she does is in between the two sides of the sandwich, and those two sides have to do with the family. She's concerned about her husband. She's concerned about her children. And then they are concerned about her. There's your sandwich. And everything else is sandwiched in between. Her first priority was God. Her second priority was her family. Notice her husband's trust in verse 12. That's certainly one of the greatest honors that can be given to a woman, is for her husband to trust in her. Notice also in verse 12 that she does him good and not evil. Notice the support that she gives to her husband. Even to the extent in verse 23 that he sitteth among the elders in the gates. She supports her husband and is there behind him and to help him to where he seemingly is even one of the leaders in the community. The family is important to her. And as you read through this, you see about what she's doing to take care of her family. She takes care of the children. She's sure that they have food. She's sure that they have clothing. And she doesn't limit her work to the family, but she reaches out to her household. This time, it was common for there to be some kind of servants in the household. And notice she's concerned about her maidens, those that serve her. She serves them to see that they have the food and the clothing that's needed. And then in verse 20, she's interested in the poor and the needy. And some of these things that are described that she does in this passage is so that she'll have the wherewithal to reach out to help the person who is needy and the one who is poor. And then, when you have that in focus, you can begin to see that her business activities were to support these other priorities and were not her number one concern in life. She made things and took them to the merchant, but notice it doesn't say that she was the merchant. She went out and bought things, even buying a field and buying the things that she needed for food, but notice for what purpose she bought them. Seems to me that everything that's indicated here is for the purpose of carrying out her responsibilities to God and to her family. As I read that, I'm reminded of Titus 2:5 and 1 Timothy 5:14 in the New Testament that admonishes the woman in the home to be a keeper at home and to guide the house. What we're saying is, and I believe the Bible supports this in this passage and throughout the Bible, that when a woman who chooses to marry and have a family then lets her career be more important to her than her family, that she's violating the principles of God. If you as a woman want a career and let that be your number one purpose in life, you should have chosen that and not chosen to be a wife and a mother. I'm not saying by that I believe that there is a problem in a woman having some type of career, or a woman seeking to be involved in business activities, as long as it's for the right purpose. But when a woman, a mother, leaves her sons and daughters in a latchkey situation or at the feet of somebody else to teach them in their formative years and goes out into a career just for a career's sake, I honestly believe it's one of the biggest mistakes that's ever been made. My hat is off to the mother who, because of the death of her husband or some kind of illness or some other circumstance, who has to be involved in making the income to support the family. And many times there are mothers who work day and night in order to do their best to help to have for their family the things that are needed. But I would encourage all of you as mothers to always sit down and prayerfully ask what is really needed and what is really needed the most. If we supply those things that seem to be important and overlook those things that are important, we may be contributing to the future downfall of those that are the greatest possessions that we have. This woman in Proverbs 31 put God first and her family second, and then she worked the other activities that are described here into that framework. I believe that when she went outside the home, she went out when it was necessary to bring that which she needed back to the home, not to get away from the home for personal reasons. Such a woman is to be appreciated, and we need to understand her priorities. Understand also her qualities. These are not all of them, but some. Self-respect, verse 22. She made herself clothing that seemed to have been of an appropriate nature, as well as being concerned about her family. Honor, verse 25. We studied just a week or so ago about giving one's honor to somebody else in Proverbs 5:9. Here is a woman who lived with honor and demanded honor from her family and from others because of the kind of life that she lived. Look at the strength of verse 25. And yet in the same verse is the quality of joy. You just sort of get an idea when you read about this woman that she got up before daylight and went to bed after dark, as we sometimes say. She worked long hours. She put forth an effort. And yet she had a heart filled with joy because where her priorities were, what meant the most to her. I have said to you so many times, and I think this is so important, that it makes a difference whether or not you are washing a dish because it's dirty or washing a dish that one of your loved ones ate from. And whether you go to work, especially as husbands and fathers, because you have to go and do the job or because you have an opportunity to go in order to be able to bring home and support your family. The priority, the motive, the attitude has a lot to do with it. And as hard as she worked, her heart was filled with joy. I like the way it says that she was one of kindness, verse 26, and one of wisdom, verse 26. Certainly one of industry and hard work, verse 27 and other verses in the chapter. What a fine person this is that's described. What great qualities she had. What a beautiful picture of a beautiful person. And when you see a person like this and you see a description like this, you can see why I said a moment ago that I believe that such a virtuous woman is at the top of the list when God starts looking at different types of people and what they mean to Him. The virtuous woman was one of excellence. She was one who had her head on straight and her priorities in the right place. And she was one who had the qualities that ought to be the qualities of every woman and every man who would follow Christ and give honor to Him and honor to God. I think it appropriate for us to encourage every woman and to encourage every young lady who is here today to use this pattern of Proverbs 31 as a pattern for life. What a wonderful person. What a wonderful woman. And I'm persuaded that we have many sitting in this audience this morning whose lives could be parallel, basically, to that life that's described in Proverbs 31. And I think that's one of the greatest compliments that could be paid to any woman. It's appropriate for us to honor our mothers, and we so do. It's appropriate for them to be honorable, and it's appropriate for all of us to honor God. In the same way, somewhat, that we are talking about honoring our mothers today in the temporal sense, we need to think about honoring God and our Father in the spiritual sense. And we honor Him by putting Him first, by trying to live in such a way that our lives give honor to Him. There are those here this morning who need to become Christians to show that honor to God. We'd like to assist you in being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. There may be some here who need to be restored. You've been out of service for a period of time. Your intentions now are to live right and to honor God. The Bible teaches we're to repent and to confess our faults and to pray one for another. In either way, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today to help you to be in a condition where you can really honor your Father in heaven. We encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
The table now is spread.
Determined that each one of us are going to take advantage as much as possible of the opportunities that we have. Let's leave here tonight that we are going to grow.